Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janavala Bhagiri Bhardhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tera Vanachari. Jamuna Tera Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janava Labha Giri Vardhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tera Vanachari. Jamuna Tera Vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha, Madhava Radha, Madhava Radha. Jaya Pancha Tattva, Pancha Tattva, Pancha Tattva, Jaya Pancha Tattva. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Sira Prabhupada. Nitai Gaur Hari Ba, Hari Ba. Hari Ba, Ba Hari Ba. Jaya Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa, Parivraja Kachari. Astu Trasatat Sistemadis Vangris. Is confound Acharya, Srila Abhacharya Vinda Bhakti Vidanta, Swami Prabhupada Maharaj ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavina ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridasa Kora ki jai. Pram Si Kahao Si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Si Advaita Gadara Si Vatsari Si Gaura Bhakta Vinda ki jai. Sisi Radha Krishna Gopal Gopinath Syama Kunda Radha Kunda Girigupadam Kejan Savindavandam Kejan Simayapanavadipdam Kejan Sijaganapuridam Kejan Gangamai Yamunamai Kejan Simatatosi Devi Bhakta Devi Kejan Samaveda Bhakta Vena Kejan Nitai Guru Premanandi. All glory to the Sama devotees. All glory to the Sama devotees. All glory to the Sama devotees. All glory is all glory. Sisi Guranga Ranga. Can I make a simple request? If you have your cell phone here, could you help to put it on airplane mode? To check yourself, just in case you're here with your cell phone, please put it on airplane mode, so that we respect the Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasati Vyatsat Tattu Jaya Mudhiraye Nastrapaye Svabhadresu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamasloke Bhakti Bhavaiti Naistiki. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 9. The title of this chapter is The Lord Incarnates as Mohini Murti. So this text is text 25. So Canto 8 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 9, text 25. Chakrena Churakdharena Jahara Pibata Siraha Haristasya Kabandas Tu Sudaya Pavito Patat Chakrena Churadharena Jahara Bibatasira Haristasya Kambandas Tu Sudhaya Plavito Patat Chakrena Shuradharena Jahara Bibatasira Haristasya Kambandasu Sudhaya Plavito Patat. Someone chant. Just a second. Could we follow the parampara system, please? If there are some older devotees in the hall, if there are proper disciples in the hall, we should respect proper disciples, man. Simple. If there are no proper disciples, there are senior people who are initiated, older than us, so we should give peace a chance. We should follow a culture of honor and respect. Give honor to those who are due. I'm sorry, but someone has to say it. And that person could be tagged a bad guy. I'm a bad guy, no problem. Can someone chant? Vaishnavis, Vaishnavis, please. So, word for word translation, and then translation and purport by Iskon Founder Acharya, is the divine grace of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Maharaj ki jai. Chakrena, by the disc. Shuradharena, which was sharp like a razor. Jahara, cut off. Bibataha, while drinking nectar. Siraha, the head. Hari, the supreme personality of Godhead. Tasya, of that Rahu. Kambanda, Kambanda, Kambanda to bed, the headless body. Sudaya, by the nectar. Aplavitaha, without being touched. Apatat, immediately fell dead. So translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, using his disc, which was sharp like a razor, at once cut off Rahu's head. When Rahu's head was severed from his body, the body being untouched by the nectar could not survive. Please kindly responsibly repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, using his disc, which was sharp like a razor, at once cut off Rahu's head. When Rahu's head was severed from his body, the body being untouched by the nectar could not survive. Purport. When the personality of Godhead, Mohini Murti, severed Rahu's head from his body, the head remained alive, although the body died. Rahu had been drinking nectar through his mouth, and before the nectar entered his body, his head was cut off. Thus, Rahu's head remained alive, whereas the body died. This wonderful act performed by the Lord was meant to show that nectar is miraculous ambrosia. Om Gyanat Mirandasya Gyanajana Salakaya Saksorum Melitam Jainatasmain Si Gurve Maha Suchetanya Manobistam Salfetam Jainabhutale Swayam Rupam Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantika Vancha kalpatari bhyacha, vipasandu bhya evacha, patitana bhavana bhya, namo. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale, Semate Bhaktivedanta Swami Itanamani, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani, Pacharine, Lenave Sesa Sanyavadi, Pasatya Disitarini. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Chakrena Shuradarena Jahara Pipatashira Haristasha Bandas Kabandas too Sudaya Plavito Patet. The Supreme Person of Godhead Hari using his disc, which was sharp like a razor, at once cut off Rahu's head. When Rahu's head was severed from his body, the body being untouched by the nectar could not survive. So in the purport here, Prabhupada mentions specifically in the last sentence, this wonderful act performed by the Lord was meant to show that nectar is miraculous ambrosia. So there are a number of ways to approach this subject matter based on this text. We have had the background of this story from several speakers. And specifically in this verse, the purport is not long, but the purport is very condensed and it's packed with a very high density information. One of those things we can look at is the power of nectar. And nectar, basically, like we find in this case, the demigods and the demons, or the devas and the asuras, they were struggling how to get this nectar. Who has to get it? Who has to drink it? Why? Because the nectar bestows immortality. So one could ask, oh, do you want to be immortal? Yes. Do you want to be immortal? No. I want to be immortal. It's not a question of one. By nature, we are immortal. But we are incarcerated in a material body, which makes us think that we are not immortal. The soul is by nature Sat-Chit Ananda. Sat, eternal. That means it is immortal. And so, by our intrinsic nature, that we are spirit souls and that we are eternal, anything less than that is not going to give us any satisfaction. And so even the demon is demonstrating that. It's in a sense, the so-called demon is trying to restore his original position as of eternity. Who wants to die amongst us? Raise up your hand. I'd like to die. I don't think anybody wants to die. So we can blame the demon, we can blame Rahu, and put all type of vituperations on him and relegate him to the background. Oh, this. Yeah, but the point is, let's look also at the positive side of the story, of the case. He was determined to reclaim his glory of eternity. And so he took risk. We all take risks. If for you to marry somebody, you see some beautiful woman, you get attracted to her, you want to marry her, you don't know her before. Or you go to some party, it just happens so often. People go to parties, then they make a catch, and then they're going back home with a man or a woman, they're going to sleep together. It's a risk. You don't know whether the person is carrying a razor or is carrying a gun. It's a risk. So what's wrong in taking a risk? So Rahu took a risk, but then the point here is that Rahu did not have any contingency plan. He's just like a straight jacket thinking. And this is how some people commit suicide. They have straight jacket thinking. There's no contingency plan in their agenda. Rahu had no contingency plan.
He didn't think that, what if I'm get caught? What will happen? That was not there. So this is called straight jacket thinking. You don't think about the consequences. And sometimes we find that the devil has also become involved in this type of straight jacket thinking without really thinking about the consequences of the action. Typical case is the case of Lord Brahma in Brahma Vimohana Lila. Again, Indra. So, all these qualities that are exhibited by the demigods, we also have it. I mean, by the demons, we also have it. It's so easy to call a dog a bad name to kill it, isn't it? It's so easy to condemn the demons, but we are also having this type of qualities. I've seen cases where devotees are giving some advice. I remember the case. I don't want to specify the temple, but I stay in the U.S. So I went to one temple. The former temple president is here. So he told me, this girl is pursuing, she's a pujari, she's pursuing this guy for marriage, but they're not compatible. So Maharaj, can you help? You're good with young people. Can you help to talk to her? So I went to speak with her. I'm naturally friendly with young people. So I went to speak with her. And she told me, Maharaj, you're my friend. I can be open with you. You see, I've been looking for a husband for all these years. This is the only boy I was able to catch. And this temple president and these senior devotees, they're telling me that we are not compatible. To hell with compatibility. So I pay my business and say, all right, thank you for being sincere to me. So this is a risk. There's no contingency plan. What is going to happen? I don't care. Quick fix. I just want it. Rao was having this type of mindset. Quick fix. I want it. Sefini. So he went in for it and he paid the price for it. You're like, Rao paid the price for it. It doesn't mean that because it's a demon, so you pay the price for it. And we are transcendental. We are devotees of Lord Krishna. We are chanting Hare Krishna, so we are transcendental. Some devotees, they think like this. But the point is, every action has a corresponding reaction. When we're doing something, we should think about the consequences. When we want to invest our energy in a project, we should also have some contingency plans. It doesn't mean we think, well, I depend on Krishna. That's good. But why did Krishna give you a big brain? For what? To just depend on him? Krishna could have told Arjuna, don't do anything. I will drive the chariot and I will also shoot the arrows. But he told Arjuna, you have to do the fight. You just tell me where to drive your chariot to. So, back to the original point. Risk factors. Risk factors. When we want to embark on any project, we should strategize. We should have a feasibility study. Generate also the risk factors involved. Whether it is a collective project or an individual initiative. Why? Because 75% of initiatives fail. 75% of initiatives, whether it's organizational initiative, whether it's individual initiative, 75% according to statistics, 75% of initiatives fail. So Rao's initiative also fell into that category, failed initiatives, disrupted initiatives. So we have some good plans, good, but we should also weigh it on the scale of pros and cons. There's a lot of lessons to learn from here. Envy. Rao was envious of the demigods. They are drinking the nectar. Why not I? So he disguised himself and then he went to sit. in the role of the demigods. But then the Supreme Lord was able to dictate. Why? Because he's the Supreme Lord. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. Instead of aligning with the Lord's mission, Ra wanted to do his own stuff. And Jagannanda Pandit, he mentions in his writing, in the Prema Vivarta, that Krishna Bhayamukha Hana Bhoga Vanchakare Nikatasta Mayatare Japatiya Dari. Japatiya Dari means you're slapped down. As soon as we become disengaged, we deviate, we relocate our attention from Krishna, we are struck down by Krishna's illusory energy. So in other words, if we don't align with Krishna's mission statement, Krishna's vision, and Krishna's goals, we are bound to meet, no matter how sophisticated our initiative is, that is bound to meet with a failure. One good lesson we can learn from Rao, or from the Rao's case, this is basically, if I have to look at it from academically, it is a purely qualitative, it's an empirical study, but it's a qualitative descriptive case. So here Rao, we learn one big lesson from Rao. He was very determined. Although he didn't put in the risk factors in place, but one good thing about it, he was determined. And we have cases of people who were successful, stories of people who were successful, devotees who were successful, who had interventions in their initiatives and they became successful by dint of their determination. A typical case is, yes, can someone tell us? The men, the Vaishnavas. Can someone give an example of some devotee who was successful by dint of his or her determination? Or some person? Huh? Or Dhruva, that's a good example. Even Sparrow was successful. Sparrow was in anxiety about her eggs, which were swallowed by the ocean. But she was so determined to retrieve her eggs from the ocean. And people passing by, they just look at her. This is a joke, a big joke. But she was determined. Eventually, there was divine intervention. Garuda came to the rescue. And Garuda ordered the ocean. Ordered Varuna, if you don't bring back the eggs, I'm going to take up her job and drain you. And immediately, determination. But our own determination should be based on Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Because if we don't have the check and balance in our determination, we could be determined in the wrong cause for the wrong purpose, and we get some horrible consequences. Because the demons are also determined, like Rahu was also determined. Determination of the devotee should be focused on how to please Srila Prabhupada, how to please his spiritual master, how to please the Vaishnavas or the Vaishnavis. Most of the times we have the misconception, we think, well, I have a guru, I please my guru, I just go back home, back to God. That's a big fallacy, big one. Because we are living in a community, and if you hurt some devotee, that will affect your devotional service. And your guru can't even save you. You have to go back to that devotee to beg that devotee. Otherwise, you don't get free from the reactions. We see the case of Dhruvasa Muni. He even went directly to Vishnu. And he told him, Vishnu told him, I can't deal with this. You go back. Go and beg my devotee that you offended. So, if we are determined to be able to achieve the goal of our Krishna consciousness, the good thing. But at the same time, we have to be very careful so that we don't brush people along the way. We find the case of Indra. He was determined to go and bring to fetch, you know, a heavy heap of wood for Kashyapa Muni's sacrifice. But when he saw some of his brothers, who were like very skinny, and all of them they combined to carry some piece of wood. Minda just felt, well, I can do all of the job. Get out of the way. You're lazy. And because they were mystics, they decided, we will create another Indra. We will teach you a lesson. From their anger and their investment, that's how Garuda was born. So even Lord Brahma had to intervene. So again, yes, determination to execute devotional service is very, very important. But as we tread on the devotional path, we should be careful not to hurt other devotees. And hurting other devotees doesn't necessarily mean senior devotees. You could hurt even a younger devotee, a junior devotee. The good thing in our devotional culture is that no action is exempted from the reactions. So, being you're a senior person, you can hurt a younger devotee, a junior, so-called junior devotee, but you get the reactions anyway. And so, determination is important. Rahu was envious of the demigods. We have to be very careful about envy. There are two types of envy. There's benign envy and there is destructive envy. Benign envy means I see something that is going nicely. Someone is doing something very nicely and I want to do like him. Destructive envy means I see someone doing something very nicely, serving the spiritual master very nicely. I see someone serving proper mission very nicely. And I just go about making a campaign of calumny to bring him down, to bring her down. Or I see someone doing something wonderful, but instead of appreciating, I want to push them down. So the case of Rahu, he wanted to take the position of the demigods. He didn't merit it. He has no qualification for it. But yes, why not? Because traditionally the demons are always in the mode of Adanta Gopi Vishatam Tamisham. They have no control over their emotions, no control over their senses. Yes, the demons are very expert. They are very prolific, even in philosophy. So generally, demons have high social intelligence. They can manipulate things. But they don't have emotional intelligence. Why? Because they are situated on a platform of Adanta Gopi Vishatam Tamisham. They have no control over their senses and their mind. So that's a big disqualification, no matter our expertise. And so the consequence of Rahu not having self-restraint was that his head was ripped off. So one could say, well, that's a good deal. I could also do that and get killed by the Supreme Lord and get liberation. But, you know, by our actions, will Mohini Muti come down? No. Will Krishna come because of our nonsense? No. We are too small. He comes for big, big things, big, big demons. And so, major factor here is that the mischiefs that we find in the demons, we should learn something from that. The envy of Rahu, we should also learn something from that. So there are negative qualities here, negative things and higher and values that we can also imbibe in a positive way. So the bottom line is that we do have a choice. Whatever we do, we have a choice. But then
we need to align with a Papa's mission statement, his goals, and his vision. You see, if you go to any university, say if you go to the Faculty of Management in any university, you check at the faculty, at the reception, the mission, the goal, and the vision of the founder of that faculty is printed on the wall. Any other dean of faculty who comes simply follows that. That is even in the mundane affair. Not to speak of a spiritual culture. So the demons, they're very selfish. Like we find in the case of Shukracharya. Shukracharya was blessed with a potency of being able to, you know, bring people back to life. But because he was so much circumscribed, he only used that for the demons. He only used that for that blessings. He only used that for the demons. And so what happened generally is that the devotee is very, very compassionate. Paradukaduki. Most are grieved to see the suffering of people. The demon is parasukaduki. Most happy to see the suffering of people. So our life, we are of opposite polarities. But we can always learn something from the so-called demons. And so, Mohini, Moti, plays a very significant role here in this very episode. Incarnation of Mohini basically plays a very fundamental role in conflict resolutions. You know, people have to go study master's degree in conflict resolution. The conflict resolution, the strategies are also there in the Bhagavatam. The arbitrator has to find out, make some conditions for both parties. And there should be a dialogue. It's not that you hear from this person and then you draw a conclusion. And we do that a lot in our movement. We do that a lot, man. We hear from one side, we are biased, and then we take it. Yeah, we go punish her because I have from this person like this. We don't care. In some cases, we don't care to find out from the other person. This is what I have from the grapevines. Such. We don't give someone a chance to defend themselves. So that's not arbitration. There is no system of resolution of conflicts that works in that way. At least we are not Raja Rishis. But even Raja Rishi, look, read the Ramayana. You see the story where Lord Ram was judging a case between a dog and a Brahman. He gave a chance for the Brahman to speak, the accused. He gave a chance for the dog, the complainant, to speak. And then he draw a conclusion. And in the conclusion, when he finalizes the case, the jury finalizes the case, they ask the complainant, they ask the dog, Ram asks the dog, what is the best punishment? We have found this Brahmana guilty. What is the best punishment that befits this Brahmana? So everything we have there in the scriptures. So for those of us who are managers, and we are also into arbitration. There's so much information you can get from the Srimad Bhagavatam and from the Vedic literature in general. Is there some time somewhere? Okay. I'm sorry. So, the bottom line is that what we are going to study for a number of years to get a master's in conflict resolutions, some basic information is also there in the scriptures. And so if you read the case of Mohini Moti, she came in as an arbitrator to solve the problem. And she made a deal with both parties. This is how I want it to be done. Do you agree? They say, yes, 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 we agree.
If any of the parties say, objects, then you cannot follow that system. So if you want to deal with the case, we have to, we are acting as arbitrators, we have to find out from both parties. This is how we want to do it. Is it okay with you? Is it okay with you? Yeah, that's why I mentioned that a lot of stuff. The purport is very short, but there's it's densely packed with a lot of information. So here, Rahu paid the price of his lack of contingency plan, his unnecessary risk without feasibility study. Sometimes we take the risk without feasibility study of the project. We lost all the money we invested. So Rao also, he took a risk, but he didn't undergo any feasibility study, nor did he have any contingency plan. Contingency plan means, this is what I want to do. Suppose I fail. What is going to happen? What's the next step? So, the Supreme Lord is teaching us a lot of lessons. He does not only come to simply kill demons, but here he is coming to teach us how to resolve conflicts as arbitrators. And the consequences of not as conscious of taking unnecessary risk is also revealed to us. Consequences of not aligning with the Lord's mission is also manifest. So there are a lot of things to take home or to take to the ashram with us. Any comments or questions? Someone is raising a hand there. You cannot go there? You afraid?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You mentioned in the lecture at one point that the demons didn't have emotional intelligence.
No. I said they don't have emotional intelligence. They have social intelligence, they don't have emotional intelligence.
Right, that's what I meant. Could you explain to us how we can acquire emotional intelligence, especially to foster our relationships among devotees?
That's a nice point. Emotional intelligence is a very broad subject matter. Rupa Goswami hinted on emotional intelligence in his Nectar of Instructions. Some of the components of emotional intelligence Rupa Goswami delineated in his first text of his Nectar of Instruction in the first text there. So some of the things we hear, all of these terminologies are used by these scholars. But we have them in the Vedic literature. we have this stuff in the Vedic literature. When Rupa mentions Vashu Vegam, the urge, you have to control the urge to speak hogwash. Hogwash means insincere nonsense. Insincere nonsense means we say something that hurts somebody. This tongue has two functions. It's used for vocalization and it's used for eating. For tasting. So in both cases, the tongue can elevate us, but the tongue also can cause so much trouble. For instance, even international wars is in most cases caused by the tongue. Because one head of state or one president of a country says in the media some things that is against one other country, and the other president of that country, he also comes to say some things against him to react to that statement, and that's how the problem starts brewing up. So the tongue, we could use the tongue for elevating our consciousness, but we can also use the tongue to hurt ourselves. Especially when we are angry, we can say a lot of things. Even with your spouse, you get angry. I remember a case where someone told me how when she was angry, and she was a professor. Before she joined the movement, she was a professor. She married one temple president. The president didn't even go to college. So then he married this president. The president was the one cultivating her. Married the president, and then there were some quarrels along the line. You know, no matter how juicy the marriage is, sometimes we have, some type of challenges. So then, during the type of challenge, she completely disarmed the guy, disarmed the husband. The husband was a little bit violent. So she told him that, you forgot that I'm a professor, and you didn't even go to college. So he was completely disarmed. So the tongue could be used for community building. It could be used for destruction. The tongue could be used, if the tongue is used in making some palatable statements, the tongue is used in creating appealing words to somebody, even your own child. If you use your tongue in a negative way, the child could become depressed. I've seen cases like that. So yeah, we could be upset, we could be angry, but the first duty of anyone in a relationship, the first duty is when your companion or your partner hurts you, the first thing is that you have to show that you are more mature than the person by tolerating. Let me give you a vivid example of what I'm saying. 8 years old child at Laguna Beach in California. I was in California for a lecture, one here. And after the lecture, this gentleman came to me. I was still sitting on the outside, and he came to me to narrate a story about what he did to his 8 years old daughter. He said when he came back from office one day, for no just cause, nothing, he said, insulting the girl, abusing her, 8 years old. She just kept quiet. This is very un-American. 8 years old girl, the father just come back, comes from the office. Instead of giving sweet words, he start abusing. It's an emotional abuse. They will call the police. The girl did nothing. And you know what? After a number of days, the father had forgotten what he did. They were together, dilly-dallying, eating, smiling. The little girl asked the father, "Dad, you remember? The other day, you came back from office. This is what you did to me. This is what you did to me. This is what you did. Did you have any fight with someone at the office that day?" 8 years old. 8 years old. And the father confessed, "Yes, I had a lot of fight at the office that day." So, this is a situation, this is just a typical situation where we carry the emotions from the office and we come to download it on our children at home or on our spouse. And one of the ways to deal with that, to diffuse that type of negative energy, always have someone share what you have passed through, the challenges, the traumatic effects of your encounter with your loved one. Why? Why we need to share that? Because if you have a sheet of paper, for instance, and you tear the paper into two and give it to your friend to use, maybe to use, your friend wants to use write a note for someone. So you tore your paper into two and give it to him. You no longer have a sheet of paper. You have half a sheet of paper. In a similar vein, if you share your traumatic encounters, your traumatic lived experiences with your loved ones, the effect is automatically reduced to almost half. Now, when you bottle up
One day it will burst, and an innocent, so-called innocent victim will be the bearer of the consequences. You ask about what to do to be able to develop emotional intelligence to sustain relationship. So this is one way to do it. Sharing. We have good, and Rupa Goswami mentions this in his Upadesamrita. Confidence. Rupa did not give us the details why we need to confide in someone. But this is a psychological reason why we need someone in our life to be able to share our bad experiences and our good experiences. Most people in relationship, they don't do that. And that is a major problem. So that's something that we could start now to practice. It's just very practical. Another way is that you want to sustain a higher loving relationship in a family. Again, emotional intelligence literally means to be able to control the emotions, the negative emotions. And if you don't love someone, it is very difficult for you to do that. You can tolerate someone, but to love someone, that's a different story. So one other way to deal with those type of situations is that you should be willing to have a discussion with your spouse or with your loved one. Don't feel ashamed to ask about what they expect from you, your behavior. Is it affecting the family? Is it affecting relationship? Is there anything you are doing that is affecting your companion, your partner? That's affecting your children. We don't ask that because we think we are always right. Or my way or the highway. Our time is up. Just in case you want to know more, you could reach me later. But I hate to keep people waiting when the time is up. I'm sorry. My name is not there on the board. I guess some of you have heard the announcement this morning. But traditionally, I think we should practice to do this. We should write the speaker's name on the board so that people who just come in, some people who are not in the Mangarati can know who is speaking. Otherwise, there is no ice breaking. Most of us will not introduce ourselves before we start speaking because it looks like, oh, he's popped up. But my name is Bhakti Vasudev Swami. I'm a disciple of the late Bhakti Chaitra Swami. I took sannyas from Japataka Swami here in Mayapur, 2009, 26th of February. So just in case you want to know more about emotional intelligence, that's my area in the academy. It's my pleasure. I feel very pleased to be able to help you out. It's something that we don't discuss it often because we are really about people going back to Godhead. But then this issues, if we don't deal with that, if we don't see how we can elevate our relationships, it could also become a source of stagnation. So yeah, this, your question is very pertinent. So if you want to reach out to me, you could get me on email, bvs.bts@gmail. Or you could see me after now. I give you the information to reach me. That's it. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.